Okay. This week's parasha is Parashas Vayakov Pkudei. We begin on page 516. Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas bnei Yisrael v'emer aleihem. And Moshe assembled the entire assembly of the bnei Yisrael, and he said to them, Eila hadavarim, these are the things asher tziva Hashem aseis aysam, that Hashem is commanded to do them. For 6 days work shall be done, or work may be done. On the seventh day, Yilachem Kodesh, it shall be for you holy. Shabbat Shabbat Son Hashem, a day of rest to Hashem. Whoever does labor work, which is the kind that is prohibited on Shabbos, he must, shall be punished with death. So, Rashi brings down that the whole point of bringing in Shabbos at this point, before we again talk about the construction of the Mishkan, is to teach us a rule that the construction of the Mishkan does not override Shabbos. The construction of the Mishkan has to be suspended when Shabbos comes. But because of the fact that Shabbos is mentioned in this week's Parsha, as it was in last week's Parsha, many of the commentaries take this opportunity to talk about Shabbos. Therefore, I would like to share with you some comments from the Sefer called Akedas Yitzchak, from an early commentary on Chumash, and share with you some of the thoughts that he has in this week's Parsha on Shabbos. Some of these things that I'm going to mention to you from Akedas Yitzchak you may have heard before, but they are important things that need to be reviewed. And that is, he begins that Shabbos, seventh day of the week in which we rest, is the day in which we remind ourselves, we internalize, we remember the fact that Hashem created the world. That's what Shabbos is about. Hashem created the world in 6 days. On the seventh day he rested. And it is through the fact that we rest on Shabbos that we testify and we live the fact that Hashem created the world from absolute nothing into the world that we have. And everything that we attribute to Hashem, everything that Hashem does, everything that we learn about that Hashem does, is all attributed back to the fact that He created the world. Because He created the world, that's why He has all these powers. Now the Kiddush Yitzchak puts forth the following question, and this is how I understand his question. And it's interesting, recently I was thinking about it. So we remember that Hashem created the world by resting, because after 6 days of creation, He rested on the seventh. So we are commemorating creation through the day in which He stopped creating. Doesn't that sound a little funny? That you want to remember creation through when He suspended creation? Wouldn't it make sense to find something creative by which to remember creation instead of remembering creation through the suspension of creation? No? Does it bother you?
He finished something. He had like a theme. No?
It's not a celebration. It's about reminding ourselves that Hashem created the world. So do something creative. Do something creative. Let creativity be the reminder of creation instead of suspension of creativity to remember creativity.
Well, except for following His pattern, which is we do our creative.
But what do we need?
But why
remember it that way? Remember it through. Why remember it through stopping creation? Remember it through activity. I mean, I understand that He rested, but we're not remembering the resting part. Remember, trying to really remember the creative part.
But
so
we're also creating ourselves 6 days a week.
That is true. That is true.
This shows us.
That is true.
If God can rest, we can rest too.
But again, it's not Shabbos is not there's a lot of parts about Shabbos, but primarily Shabbos is a testimony that Hashem created the world, not that Hashem rested creating the world. It's testimony that He created the world.
Let me remember that he created the world.
So remember it through the created through creation. Why through the suspension? Why through resting?
Because you need to rest to think about it. You take your mind
So now you're saying, resting means what? Resting means the suspension of activity that the Torah says. Now, okay, you have a point there, all right? So now you're trying to say an answer that well, it's about practicality. I don't have time during the week, so that's the only way I can do it. Okay. So my understanding of that Kedus Yitzchak is like this. When we are, for a lack of a better word, commemorating, testifying to the fact that through our actions, that Hashem created the world, what we're trying to exclude, what we're coming to the exclusion of, is a philosophy that definitely did exist, and to some degree does still exist, to a large degree still does exist, I would think, to the idea that the world was. It always was. Everything starts with the world. There's nothing before the world. A philosophy that says, Kadmon, the world is the beginning. Everything started from the world, meaning there's no creation, and it just started. It just started, you know. Maybe we're trying to figure out how it started, but there's always a point of beginning that instead of saying that it's Hashem, right? It's something. But the Ramban talks about this in Parshas Vay. There was a philosophy that the world just started on its own, and it has this process of continuing, right? The world starts and it reproduces and it replicates and it does different things to continue, and that's the way the world goes. The world started on its own, the world continues on its own. And Shabbos is about saying, absolutely not. Shabbos is about saying that there is a creator who created the world. So if you're going to go ahead, right, and try to remember creation or commemorate creation through your actions, you are not really bringing out the point of what the Yakedus Yitzchak says is Yesh Me'ayin. You know? What do we call it? Ex nihilo?
Creatio ex nihilo, yeah.
What is ex? What?
From nothing.
Right.
Creation
okay.
From nothing.
Right. Creation from nothing. That is, creation from nothing means that that power had to put there's a God who put that into power. So if you just somehow or another, through action, through creativity, right, try to remember Hashem created the world, it doesn't really bring it out, because creativity is part of the world. You can believe that the world started and there's still creativity. I mean, that's how the world continues. But if you go ahead and you say that Hashem rested from creativity, then that has to mean that there's a point of creativity. The point is, it's not that everything just was. Saying that Hashem rested from creativity is a way of saying that there was a point of nothing, and then Hashem suspended. He suspended his creativity. That means it started from something. That's the point.
Also, it means it was completed at some point. Which is
that is true, but again, we're not trying to get the. Oh, you mean okay?
Yeah.
Well, completed something that he created.
Right.
But the point is that we by suspending by remembering that Hashem created the world on the day that He rested, right, is the way to bring out the fact that things just weren't always where they were. They just always were. Because if you believe in that philosophy, creativity is how the world continues. But to say that Hashem rested from his creativity is saying that there was a point that he started the there was a point of starting is the point that he stopped. If he stopped from doing something, that means that he at one point started it. So therefore, if you want the way that we go ahead and we testify and we internalize and we every week remind ourselves that Hashem created the world, the best way to do that is actually resting and emulating what He did. And emulating what He did then brings out the point that there's creation, because He's resting from creation. He's suspending something that He started. If he didn't start it, then he's not really suspending it. The point and actions that we do, creative actions that we do, that's that. Even if you believe that the world was always there, there's always creativity. That's how the world continues. But to say that Hashem suspends, that we're saying through action, through creativity, it's going to be hard to commemorate the creativity of Hashem. But to bring out the fact that Hashem created everything from nothing, so when you say that Hashem stopped, that Hashem suspended, that means He suspended something. He stopped from what He started, which was creation.
Also means He did it willfully, because if creation just started by itself, like the other philosophy, yeah, it started, and it just, why would it stop after a certain, it would still be creating, because it's just some natural process.
Okay.
But what is resting, I mean, the idea of the word resting doesn't mean...
Resting,
anything you can do on Shabbat.
Resting means suspending the type of activity that we're not to do on Shabbat. And of course there are other activities, but the point is that these activities, the Torah says, are that the suspension of these activities can bring you to the state of rest that the Torah wants you on Shabbos. But again, the way the Kedus Yitzchak, again, the way I understand the Kedus Yitzchak, is bringing out this point that we commemorate and we remind ourselves of the creation. The best way to do that is by actually remembering it through when we say Hashem stopped creation. By commemorating that, we commemorate that at that point, because by saying that He suspended what He was doing, that means that He had started a process and He suspended it. He started the creation and He stopped it. That's the way of testifying to say there is a creation, and that the world and the world was not just there. Okay. Now, the Akedah continues, and he focuses on something that we say in Kiddush, and it's something, again, that we find in the Torah. We say in Kiddush that Shabbos is Zecher Lema'aseh Bereishis, right? Remembers the creation of the world. We say it throughout davening. There is something else that Shabbos is considered Zecher. Shabbos is also to commemorate Yitzias Mitzrayim. That is what the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayeshanan, when Moshe repeats the Aseres HaDibros and he goes through Shabbos. There, the way Shabbos is expressed is that it is to remember that we were slaves in Egypt, that Hashem took us out. And we say that in Kiddush also. We say, Zeichar Ba'aseh Bereishis, Ki Hu Yom Tchila L'Mikrei Kodesh, it is the day, the beginning of the convocations of holiness, Zeichar Yetzias Mitzrayim, a remembrance to the Exodus from Egypt. So the Akedah Yitzchak asks, if Shabbos is commemorating these two things, so why not in Kiddush just say them both together? Zeichar Ma'aseh Bereishis, Zeichar Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why do we interject in between the fact that it's the first day of the holidays, and then we say Zeichar Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why do we do that? If Shabbos is both, then just say together, Shabbos is both. So therefore he says, because what Chazal, when they made the Brach of Kiddush, trying to point out, is again something that is pointed out through all the commentaries about Shabbos, is that Shabbos actually is commemorates Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Yetzias Mitzrayim teaches us Hashem's omnipotence. Yetzias Mitzrayim taught us. Yetzias Mitzrayim didn't directly. What Yetzias Mitzrayim taught the world and taught the Jewish people was the fact that Hashem is involved in the world. Hashem runs the world, and there is nothing that is beyond Hashem's capability regarding. There's nothing beyond His capability. He's not omnipotent. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim taught. The source, the foundation to say that. Where does it come from to say that Hashem is omnipotent? Where does it come from? It comes from the fact that He created the world. So Shabbos and Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shabbos being Zeichar Ma'aseh Bereishis, Shabbos being the commemoration of the creation of the world, and commemorating Yetzias Mitzrayim work together. Because Shabbos tells us Hashem created the world, because He created the world, He has the power to do everything and anything. And in Yetzias Mitzrayim, he actually showed us that. He showed us that he's involved in the world and that he does have the power. And he showed us that power. And that all powers are his powers. That he can do anything. So Shabbos becomes a foundation for what Yetzias Mitzrayim was to teach us. Creation of the world is the basis to say that Hashem can do everything. In Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem showed us his involvement that he can do everything. And when we see that, we say, what's the basis for that? The creation of the world. So Shabbos and Yetzias Mitzrayim work together. And therefore, in Kiddush, what Chazal wanted to bring out was, Zecher Maaseh Bereishis. Shabbos teaches us to remember the creation of the world. Ki hu yom tchila l'mikrei kodesh. It is the day, the first of the convocation of holiness. The first meaning it's the root. It's the foundation for all the holidays. Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. The holidays are about remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, Shabbos does that for us also. The Chazal in making Kiddush, in creating the bracha of Kiddush, didn't want to just say, well, Shabbos reminds creation of the world, and it reminds us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which as he's going to say later, the other commentaries say, that you could say that Shabbos commemorates Yetzias Mitzrayim because Yetzias Mitzrayim, we stopped being slaves, we stopped being forced into labor, we were free of work, and that's exactly what happens on Shabbos. So Shabbos can have a very direct way of reminding us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it's more than that. The point is that Shabbos, which commemorates the creation of the world, becomes the foundation of what the message of all holidays are. The message of all holidays are that Hashem is involved in the world and that he can do anything. The foundation for that is Shabbos. And that's what Chazal are trying to bring out in the bracha. Zecher Maaseh Bereishis, Shabbos is the creation of the world. Therefore, it is the day that is the first, that is the source for all holidays, whose point is to remind us of the fact that Hashem is all-powerful, that Hashem is omnipotent. The bracha are trying to bring that out. The bracha are trying to stress how Shabbos is the source for what Yetzias Mitzrayim is meant to teach us. Then he says, that both these ideas, that Hashem created the world from nothing, and that Hashem is all-powerful, actually lies in every part of observing Shabbos that we do. When we are told to observe Shabbos, which primarily means that we refrain from doing certain activities, both these ideas lie in the observance of Shabbos. Because any time we observe Shabbos, there are two aspects to what we're doing. They relate a lot. They overlap without a question. But there's two aspects, and there's two ways of looking at things. There's an aspect of Shabbos that says the individual should rest. The individual should rest. The individual should not be involved in all the regular activities that the individual is involved in. The individual should suspend work, and therefore the individual should be what we'd call at rest. And then there's another aspect in which we say the activity should be suspended, which means that even if, let's say, somehow or another, right, forget about the person, right, he's resting or not resting, we don't want this work being done. We don't want it being done. There's two aspects. We want the person, we want the individual to be at rest, and we also want the suspension of the activity. Both exist. Again, there are many ways that can be one and the same, but we can look at it in two different ways. And looking at it two different ways serves two different purposes. For the individual to be at rest, that now gives individual, as Barry said, the peace of mind, to be able to contemplate what Shabbos is meant to teach us. If Shabbos is meant to teach us the fact that Hashem created the world from nothing, then again, just as we said before, by resting from activity, that's the way that we bring out that Hashem created the world from nothing, as we said before. The chance to really contemplate that and internalize that comes when you don't have the burden of your weekday activity. The individual is now free to be able to contemplate the lesson that comes from resting on Shabbos. The Abar Benel in last week's parasha says, and actually the Kedis will also mention it, another part of the individual being at rest means that if they're not burdened with their weekday activity, then they're open, then they're available to study Torah. We'll get to that. But right now he starts on the fact that the whole idea that we said before, that we bring out, that Hashem created the world from nothing, the best way to bring that out is by resting, is by suspending your activity. So by doing that, we emulate how Hashem suspended the creation that he began. So too, when an individual is at rest, that gives the individual the best way to emulate that and to commemorate that. The fact that the work is suspended, right, is a way of reminding us of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. The work is suspended. The point being that the work was suspended from Egypt from our slavery, and so too now, we commemorate that with the suspension of work that we have now. And these different aspects are brought out in the way Shabbos is given to us in the Aseret HaDibros. Because in Parshas Yisrael, when the Torah was first given, and the Torah talks, and the Torah gives us the mitzvah of Shabbos in the Ten Commandments, so over there, the discussion is, if we want to take a look, okay, in Parashas Yisrael, page 410, Zochar Yisrael Shabbos L'Kadshi, remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify it. Shemish Yisrael M'Tavoy, 6 days shall you work, V'asisakar Malachtecha, you'll do all your labor. The Yom Mashvi Shabbos L'Hashem Aleikecha, the seventh day is a day of rest to Hashem your God. V'asisakar Malachtecha, you shall not do any work. Atavintcha V'itecha, you, your son, your daughter, Avdecha V'amascha V'mtecha, your servant, your maid servant, your animal, the gerach Hashem isharecha, and the convert that's in your gates. Kisheishes shabim asu Hashem es hashmayim v'saaretz. For in 6 days Hashem created heaven and earth. Es hayom es kol hashabam, the sea and everything in it. Vayanach vayanach vayem hashvi, and he rested on the day of Shabbos. So the focus on in Parshas Yisrael when it comes to the mitzvah of Shabbos is the creation of the world. If you now turn to Parshas Matzchanan, page 968, the second to last line on the page 968, Pasuk Yud Beis. There the Torah says, Shomor Esem HaShabbos L'Kadshei, guard the day of Shabbos to sanctify it, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as Hashem your God has commanded you. Shei Shesamim Tavad V'Sisaka Malachtecha, 6 days you shall work and you shall do all your labor. The Yom Hashvi is Shabbos Hashem Elokecha, the seventh day is Shabbos Hashem your God. V'Yisasaka Malach, you should not do any work. Ata Avincha Vitecha, you, your son, your daughter. V'Avdecha V'Amasecha, your servant and your maid servant. V'Sharcha V'Chamarcha V'Chol Behemtecha, your ox, your donkey, and all your animals. V'Gerach Hashem V'Sharecha, and your convert that's in your gates. L'man Yanuach Avdecha V'Amascha Kamecha, so that your servant and maid servant should rest like you. That we don't have in the first in Parshas Yisrael. No mention of Laman Yanuach, so that you're a repetition rather, so that your servant and maid servant should rest. Then Vizachar to Kievra Yisabarat Mitzrayim, you shall remember you were a slave in Egypt. By Yitziach Hashem Elokecha Misham, Hashem your God took you out from there. Biyad Chazak Vazonet Tuya, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. So here there is no open discussion, no open mention of the creation of the world. Here, the focus is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, which again, you can learn it as suspension from work reminds us of the suspension from our labor in Egypt. And again, the focus of so that your servant and maid servant, the reason why that's stressed again is because when you're talking about remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, suspension of labor in Yetzias Mitzrayim, then the focus of the suspension of your servant and maid servant working, right, is very much part of commemorating that. The Ramban in Parshas Matzchanan says that you shall remember that you were a servant to Hashem, you shall remember that Hashem took you out of Egypt, he explains it as we mentioned before. Through Shabbos, we can remember Hashem created the world, and if Hashem created the world, he's all-powerful, which is what we saw in Yetzias Mitzrayim. But these two aspects are the two aspects that the Torah point brings out in Parashas Yisrael by Zechar to remember the creation of the world, and in Parashas Reschanan to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. These are the two aspects of Shabbos. And we have to remember, Zachar v'shamar b'dibur echad. Parashas Yisrael, the Torah says, remember Shabbos. Parashas Reschanan, keep Shabbos. The Chazal say, Zachar and Shamar were said in one utterance. They go together, and they work together, because it's the two aspects of Shabbos. The two aspects of every part of observing Shabbos. The person resting, which is about remembering the creation of the world, and the work being suspended to commemorate the fact that the slavery of Egypt was suspended. Okay. So that's the first idea of Shabbos that the Akedah Yitzchak brings out. And then the second idea that he brings out is what we said before, in the sense of when a person is able to rest on Shabbos, what is a person then able to do? A person is then able to focus on studying Torah and developing himself spiritually. And it's very interesting the way he lays it out. He says, if now people have to rest, people have to suspend their weekday activity, so now they are available to now learn Torah. And that gives them a very unique opportunity. They don't have the regular obligations of the week. They don't have the regular labor of the week. I'm free now. I'm free not to study Torah. And if you're a teacher of Torah, let's say you're already learning, right? You're already learning.
All week.
What?
All week.
All week, right? What Shabbos does for you then is it gives you a chance to
teach.
Meaning it's the opportunity for those who don't usually have the chance to learn, and it gives opportunity for those who are learned to have the enjoyment, the pleasure of sharing their Torah with others, of elevating others through Torah. So this is that is another aspect of Shabbos, and this is really brought out from the Talmud Yerushalmi that says, "Le'nitnu Shabbosis v'yamimtayim liYisrael." Shabbos and Yom Tov were given to the Jewish people for what purpose? For what purpose? And the Lidma Behem Torah, to learn Torah. And he says, this is part of the concept of the Nefesh Yisera, the extra soul that we have on Shabbos, the expansion of our soul on Shabbos. The expansion of our soul on Shabbos is this idea that on Shabbos we either learn Torah and teach Torah, and through that we have that growth of our neshama. The extra neshama of Shabbos is that potential, that ability for us to have the opportunity to grow through learning and through teaching Torah. And he says that a person who does not use the opportunity to use our Shabbos in this way, the wording is, Hinehu be'emes memesis atzmai. He's killing himself. He's killing himself. The Torah said, in 6 days, do all of your work. The Torah said, 6 days, get everything done then. Right? If you decide, oh, I got to get things done on the seventh day too, the Torah says, no, you take care of everything on the sixth day. And on the seventh day, you look at it as if everything's in order, there's nothing to worry about. And that seventh day becomes that day to grow spiritually. Unfortunately, Chazal understood that people don't use out Shabbos and Yom Tov properly. And again, the Yerushalmi brings Amar Rabbi Ami said, Ilmalei hayisi maitzei misha yanimna imi, if I could find someone to join me, hayisi matzei malacha b'moed, I'd allow work on moed, on Yom Tov. Now, I think according to some this means chol moed, his context makes it sound like Yom Tov itself. And of course, he's being facetious. He doesn't mean that he would suspend, that he would stop, that he would allow malacha. Can't allow malacha. But what's his point? Because why do we have Yom Tov? Why do we have Shabbos? So that we could eat, drink, and study Torah. What do people do? They eat, drink, and waste their time. So they're wasting their time already. Let them work. Let them work.
Yeah.
So Chazal were already, they were very well aware that people don't use out Shabbos and what it's supposed to be for. And they brought that up by saying, you know, for those people, Let him do something constructive. Let him go to work. But the point really is that Shabbos in Yontif is about that opportunity, that time where you are unburdened from your weekday obligations and activities, and you can focus on learning Torah. Okay. That's the Shabbos discussion about this week's Parsha. Let's now go back. Okay, Parsha Vayakel, page 516. Now, I want to share with you a very interesting thought from Rabbeinu Bachaya. Again, a thought that perhaps we have mentioned in the past. But he says like this, and I'm saying this, so to speak, as an introduction to the part of the Parsha that repeats and reviews the construction of the Mishkan. Parsha Truma was Hashem commanding Moshe what to do to construct the Mishkan. Parsha Vayakel is the Torah telling us what was done, and what with that it was constructed as Hashem commanded Moshe. So Rabbeinu Bachaya says like this, V'daki asipor be'inyan ha-mishkan v'kelav. The Torah relating about the Mishkan and its utensils, v'achakira b'tchunas tzuraisav u'mura'av v'shir arkan v'rachman v'kaimasan, and a discussion of all its different dimensions and parts and measurements, af al pi she'ei beis ha-mikdash kayim, even though we don't have a beis ha-mikdash, so you may say, what's the relevance of this? Mitzvah gedolah, it is a very great mitzvah. At shamayim magiyas chara, the reward for this reaches up to heaven. The Torah hi v'lumad enu tzrichen, it's Torah and we have to study it. V'chein yizkiru razal b'in our karbonis, our sages mentioned regarding the sacrifices, shikol ha-mis'asik v'limad parshiyas, whoever studies the portions of the Torah that deal with the sacrifices, and he in depth studies all their details, it's like he brought the carbon itself. Our sages said, whoever is involved, whoever studies the portion of Ayla, it's like he offered an Ayla. If you study the portion of the sin offering, it's like you brought a sin offering. And actually, we could say, and the more in depth that you study it, which would mean through the Mishnayos and the Gemara and its commentaries on the section of Karbanis, all that counts more for having a level that creates even greater level of as if you brought the carbon. Halamata miza ala sipur befil bilvad. From this we see that just by, so to speak, relating something with your mouth, scharai itay pulase lafanav, he gets the reward. Ki'ilu asa ha-maisa ve'ikrev karban al mizbeach. What he now pronounces, declares with his mouth, he gets reward and credit as if he did the act of bringing the carbon. That's clearly, the Gemara clearly states. The Rebbeinu Bachaya says, wazin besipur yani ha-mishkan va-mikdash. The same thing applies when you discuss and you learn about the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. She'eshvanu zechus atzuma. It gives us a tremendous merit. The Eikev Rav and great reward, kasha negebahem, when we think about them, v'nishtadel lahavim pshuta v'nigleyen, and when we try to understand their basic meaning. How much more so, he says, if we delve into the secret meaning, into the deeper meaning of what everything in the Beis HaMikdash stands for, that how much more of a credit it is for us. So Rabbeinu Bachaya is saying that the same way when you study carbon, it's as if you bring a carbon, you study the Mishkan, you study the Beis HaMikdash, it's as if you have it. It's as if whatever benefits there were from having it, you have it through the study of it. It's a very important concept. That as much as we typically really do focus more on the things that are relevant to us, at the same time, we can't forget about studying the section of the Beis HaMikdash and the Karbanis, because by doing so, we get the reward, the credit, as if we brought the Karbanis, as if we had the Beis HaMikdash, and what the Beis HaMikdash brings for us, and what the Beis HaMikdash does for us. Okay. Now, when the Parsha then relates all the different materials that the Jewish people brought, and the pasuk says, here, back on page 516, pasuk Dalet. Vayemer Moshe kol hadas b'nei Yisrael. Moshe said to the entire assembly of the Jewish people, saying, "Zeh hadavar, this is the thing asher tziva Hashem lemar, that Hashem commanded to say. Kachu me'itchem truma l'Hashem. Take from yourselves a portion to Hashem. Kol adiv liboy, all those whose heart motivates him. Yivi'eha es trumas Hashem, he shall bring the separation of Hashem. Zav v'chesef v'chayshes, gold, silver, copper, etc." So here again, when the Torah talks about donating, instead of using the word give, it says kachu, take. Take from yourselves a separation to God. So the Sefer Zayim LaTorah brings the following story to bring out why the Torah uses this expression of kachu me'itchem, take from yourselves, instead of just saying give. And he mentioned this, he cites the following story of Chaim Soloveitchik. Chaim Soloveitchik was one of the Rosh Yeshiva, the Valajna Yeshiva. And there was a point of time the Valajna Yeshiva found itself in very deep debt, and he had to go traveling to secure funds for the yeshiva. And he went to the city of Minsk, which the city had two people, two God-fearing, generous people, who always helped out the yeshiva. So Reb Chaim went to, you know, he went to visit one of those supporters of the yeshiva, and the supporter told him, "Okay, stay here. Let me see what I can do." A few days later, Reb Chaim comes back. So Reb Chaim is now staying at this person's house, studying Torah. And a few days later, he goes to the supporter and he says, "You know, what's happening?" Supporter says, "Half the money that's needed, I have already. Now I'm going to work on the second half." Now, to work on the second half, Reb Chaim gave him a lot longer time. Almost a month later, Reb Chaim comes back to him. The whole month Reb Chaim is staying at his home. And Reb Chaim comes back to him and says, "What's happening with the second half?" He says, "Baruch Hashem, finally got the second half together. Here's the entire money to cover the needs of the yeshiva." Chaim goes back to Balajan, all the debts are paid up, everything's good. Short while later, these two supporters from Minsk came to Balajan for a din Torah. They had a dispute, and they brought their dispute before the Beis Din. What was the dispute? Listen to this fight. Halavai, all Beis Din disputes would be like this. Basically, the other supporter, who did not get involved this time in raising funds for the yeshiva, brought his partner to Beis Din saying, "Until now, we've always done things together. How come this time you paid it all out of your pocket on your own? And you didn't give me a chance to participate?" So Chaim found out about this. And he goes to the supporter who gave him all the money, and he says to him, "You know, not getting involved in the din Torah. Like, if you were giving all the money, then why did I have to sit around for over a month in your house?" So the man said, "You know, the first half, you know, I was able to bring myself to give. The second half, that was a struggle. I had to work on myself for that. You know, it's not easy to part with your money. And it took me a while until I was able to finally overcome my attachment to money and be ready to give you the second half. It took me a month to do that. That's what took so long." So the Zayim LaTorah says that is what the Torah is trying to say by saying take from yourselves. The Torah is trying to say you got to give up a part of yourself. There's a part of all of us that has a strong attachment to money. And it's hard to get over that attachment. And the Torah wants us to be the div libay. The Torah doesn't just say give. The Torah wants us to want to give. The Torah wants our heart in it. If the Torah wanted our heart in donating towards the Mishkan, the Torah is saying kachul meyitchem. The Torah is saying not just give, like, you know, grumpy give. I really don't want to give, but I'll force myself to give. Is that what the Torah wants? That would be, you know, even that's hard to do. But the Torah wants a person kachul meyitchem. If you're going to give, if you're going to donate properly, you got to give from yourself. You got to be ready to give up from yourself. You got to be able to give up something that's very, very precious to you, something you're very strongly attached to. And you especially have to do that if the Torah wants to give Levi, he wants your heart to motivate you. Your heart should be in it. So the Torah didn't just say give. The Torah said kachu meyitchem. You're going to donate, and you're going to donate properly, you're going to donate with joy and willingly. You got to be ready to give up, to give from yourself. You got to be ready to give up from yourself, from your emotions, from what you're attached to. Okay. Let's now turn to page 518, Pasuk Chavzayim. Vanesiyim heviu, and the princes brought, Es Avnei Hashoyim Es Avnei Amiluim, the Shoam stones and the filling stones, Leifod V'lachoshen, for the apron and for the breastplate. So, until now, the Torah mentions all the different materials and parts that were donated by the Jewish people, and then it tells us the princes brought the precious stones that were needed for priestly garments. You will notice that the word Vanasim is missing a yud. There should be a yud between the Aleph and the Mem. So Rashi comments, the reason why Nasim is spelled without a yud, look in Rashi on the left column, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Amar Rav Nassim Maro Nesiyim Lisnadi B'Chanukah Tamizbeach B'Tchila V'lecha Tamishkul Lisnadi B'Tchila. Rashi is quoting a Medrash. Question. We know that in Parshas Nasai, when it came to the dedication of the Mishkan, the princes were first. They came right away. Immediately they came and they gave their gift for the inauguration of the Mishkan. When it came to donating towards the Mishkan, they were last. How come there they were quick, and here they were last? Elakachem Runasim, the princess said like this, Yisnadu Tzibur Mashem Yisnadvim, let the congregation, let everybody give what they give, U'mashem Lachashvin Onu Mashlim and Oisei, and what they will be missing, we'll make up. They assume the Jewish people would not cover everything needed, and they'll make up the shortfall. But once this Tzibor, once the nation actually gave everything that was needed, as is depicted in this week's parsha, when an announcement had to go out to say, stop bringing because we have extra, the Nesiyim said, burned. What are we going to do now? Hey, Virus Avnei Hashoyam. They then brought these precious stones. They brought the precious stones. That was the only thing left for them to do. They therefore went and brought right away what they were giving for the inauguration of the Mizbeach. They did it right away. They learned their lesson, and the next time around they had to do something, did it right away. And because they lagged, okay? At this point, Nechzra Ois Mishmam, the Torah took away a letter from their name, Vanesiyim Ksiv, without a yud, to show that there was something lacking in their donation. What was lacking in the donation? The fact that they missed out on donating everything else and were only able to give this. So now, it's kind of hard to understand, you know. Clearly, the Nesiyim are being taken to task for the fact they didn't give right away. Now, and it's called Nis'atzlu. Now, Nis'atzlu, the word atzlu means to be lazy, right? Now, to say that everybody else wasn't lazy, but these princes of the Jewish people were lazy, is very, very strange. Either the leaders of the people, you know, everybody else is enthusiastic about giving, and they're not. It's very strange. So we have to figure out what exactly went wrong. What did they do wrong here? What stopped them? What was that? What were they thinking? Well, rather, what was wrong with what they thought? I mean, look, they thought that the Jewish people wouldn't give everything, and they'll make up the shortfall. Is that such a terrible thing? Is it so terrible to think that way? Well, a commentator you may say, well, listen, you got a mitzvah, you do it right away. There's no pushing off a mitzvah. But I want to share with you something in the Medrash. This Medrash that Rashi brings down is not a Medrash in this week's Parsha. It's a Medrash in Parsha Sos. And Rashi, for whatever reason, there's a part that the Medrash brings down that Rashi doesn't bring down. And to me, it brings out something very interesting in this whole episode. Oh, here it is. Okay. So the Medrash asks again, how come here they were last? Medrash says, here it says, Lefi shebishah sha'amar Moshe, kol nedivlei of yavi yitrumas Hashem lechas ha-mishkan. When Moshe announced, anyone whose heart motivates shall bring the separation of God for the construction of the Mishkan, v'loi amar l'nasiim, and he didn't say it to the princes, ha'yarah be'eneyim, it was bad in their eyes, they were bothered by, al-shaloi amar lahem lahavi, that he didn't tell them to bring. What's the problem? He said everybody should bring. They needed a special invitation? Now, after that, after it says that they were bothered by it, they were troubled by it, Amru, they said, Yaviu ha'amashi yaviu, let everyone bring what they bring, u'mashi echasri, n'male anachnu, and whatever is missing, we'll do. Now, the Medrash says the Jewish people rejoiced over the construction of the Mishkan, and they happily, enthusiastically just brought and brought and brought, to the point that there was nothing left to give, and then the Nesiim saw they were left out, and they said, okay, we lost that on contributing to the construction of the Mishkan, let us at least contribute towards the priestly garments with the stones that they gave. But what's going on here? What does it mean exactly when the Medrash says that the Nesiim were troubled by the fact that Moshe said everybody should bring, but it didn't tell them to bring? And then they say, well, everybody else will bring, and then we'll be mashlim. We'll make up the deficit. So the commentary of Eitz Yosef, commentary on the Medrash, says that in Pirkei de Belezer, in the Medrash of Pirkei de Belezer, it says that the Nesiim did not participate in the Cheder Eagle. The Nesiim did not participate in the sin of the golden calf. And therefore, in their mind, who should be donating towards the construction of the Mishkan through which the Shechina should rest? Not the Jewish people who sinned. We didn't sin. We should be the one doing it. They were troubled by the fact that Moshe basically announced everyone, and really he should have been asking them to do it. And they could have done it. They're rich enough men. They could have done it. And it seems that from there, the next step was, they said, all right, you know, they're bothered by it. And then the next step was, okay, everybody will give, and then we'll give after. It would seem there's some kind of connection between their being troubled with what Moshe did, and as a result, not giving as they should have right away. That's my understanding here. They are troubled by Moshe's announcement, donate towards the Mishkan, because in their minds, it's like, how's the Shechina going to rest if the Jewish people donate, and they were the ones that sit by the golden calf?
Mishkan was required because of the
Chetai. Yeah, but he's bothered.
People who sinned should be the ones who pay for
that's it. Not what they felt. They felt that they felt that you want the Shechina to be it. It's through the Shechina that everything is going to happen. That it should not come through them. Okay. Now again, this was so it could be that what the Medrash is saying is basically, you know why they weren't enthusiastic? You know why at the end of the day, what was it that basically motivated them, or what was it that made them think about what made it that they weren't so enthusiastic? I mean, the fact that, again, whatever good intentions that they had of giving, not giving right away, they were held, the Torah takes them to task for not giving right away, for not enthusiastically giving right away. That is where they went wrong. What brought that about?
Yeah,
what brought them about the fact that they were bothered by the process. Moshe said everybody should give. Basically, it would seem they were not ready to completely accept what Moshe said, and they were bothered by it. Like, this doesn't make sense. Well, if it doesn't make sense to you, you're not excited about it. If you're not excited about it, that's why they didn't have that motivation to give right away. That now created this place in their minds to give maybe what they said was a legitimate reason not to give right away. But basically, the basis for that, what was it that made them not excited to give right away? Why didn't they give right away? What are the reasons that they had in mind? What was truly the motivation not to give right away? Because they weren't excited. And why weren't they excited? Because they were troubled by the process. At the end, they realized they were wrong.
Troubled because they didn't get the cover they wanted?
No, not necessarily. No. They were troubled by the fact that they were troubled, but they were troubled with the fact that how is the Shekhinah going to rest here if it was constructed with the money coming from those who sinned by the golden calf? They were bothered. The problem with that is that they weren't accepting what Moshe said.
Yeah.
And because of that, they weren't enthusiastic about it. So they decided, okay, what everybody else doesn't give, we'll give. And at the end, they realize that everything is coming from the Jewish people. They're not even being given a chance to give, which means that Hashem is basically saying, no, they can give it and the Shekhinah will rest there. And they realize that they were wrong. And they realize that they lagged in giving before, and now, the next time that they had to give something, they wouldn't lag. They would be besimcha, they would be enthusiastic over the Shekhinah resting in the Mishkan, and they'll show a joy of that, doing it right away, which they didn't show before. They didn't show that joy before. They didn't show that joy before. They didn't act with that joy before because they were troubled. They were troubled by the process. It was that was the judgment. That was a judge. That was the mistake in their judgment.